I ask the question all the time, but I can't help it. Aren't you glad you're saved? That you can sing these hymns with meaning? We continue our study based on the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 is our text. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's our chapter. We as believers are partakers of the divine nature. You've heard me say it before. That's enough to make your body burst. Me, a partaker of the divine nature? How can I hold it? We are partakers of the divine nature. We read on. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In addition, giving all diligence. Now your Bible say add. The better word is develop. It's not a question of adding a foot here and a toe here and an eye there. It's a question of development. We are to develop the following things. In your faith, develop virtue, stamina, manhood. Virtue, knowledge. We are to know the Word of God. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, patience. And that's where we are today. We've been here now a couple of times. Patience. Now, I'm going to ask you to read. We read them Wednesday night. Four Psalms, all having to do with patience. Now, you say to me, why must we read them again today? We just read them Wednesday night. Well, it's all right if you want to read Shakespeare once. You've read him. But when you read this book, you haven't read it yet. There was a brother in New York. He gave a gospel series for 2 weeks. Every night for 2 weeks he preached. One text, John 3:16, and he never repeated himself. Can you do it? That's the Bible. I have told you this and I repeat it. Dr. Rose, some of us knew him well. First time I met him, it was a Saturday morning. We sat at breakfast. Dr. Rose said to me, brother, I have been studying the book of Isaiah for 53 years. This morning I saw something I never saw before. You say 53 years on one book, you ought to know everything in the book. No. And so we're going to review four scriptures having to do with patience, with waiting. I know you know them, but let's go over them again. Psalm 24, verse 14. Psalm 24, verse 14. I'm 27. Oh my. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Just don't wait. Wait patiently. Don't pace the floor. Just wait patiently. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's how you wait. You don't wait walking up and down. When is the Lord going to speak to me? When is the Lord going to answer me? Wait patiently. Psalm 62. Now, I'm going to read it the way it comes in the original. It reads this way in some of your Bibles, and some of your Bibles it doesn't. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth silently. Verse 5. My soul wait silently upon the Lord. Wait. Wait patiently. Wait silently. Last Wednesday we looked at a Bible character who waited patiently and silently. Hannah. This morning, we want to look at another Bible character who waited patiently and silently. Genesis chapter 37, please. Genesis chapter 37. Verse 3. Now Israel, that is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him. They hated him. Verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet more. My, my. He said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and to my sheaf, and lo, my sheaf arose, also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood and made obeisance to my sheep. His brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? They hated him yet more. Isn't that sad? Your own brother hates you? I had four brothers. I loved them all. Now, I'll tell you a little pet secret. My children are here. I don't know why, but that last brother, I liked him best of all. And we had a lot in common. We even shared offices together. They hated him. What a terrible thing for brothers to hate each other. Verse 9. He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? His brethren envied him. My, my, my. He was in a pretty bad situation, wasn't he? His brothers envy him. Come down to verse 31. Verse 31. They took Joseph's coat, killed the kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. They sent the coat of many colors and brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt and rent in pieces. Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned many days for his son. Chapter 39. Please note that in all of this, Joseph waited. He waited patiently and he didn't complain. And we're going to see afterwards why he didn't complain. Chapter 39, did I say? Verse 2. Oh, this is the key to it. The Lord was with Joseph. Is the Lord with us? He promised never to leave us or fail us. He is with us. Therefore, no matter what happens on the outside, we can be quiet. We can be silent. The Lord is with us. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Isn't that beautiful? You know that should be true of us? You get it in 2 Corinthians. We should so live that people can tell that the Lord is with us. I've seen that. I think of one of the nurses that worked with us. She did nursing, like everybody else, but there was something different about her. I said, this nurse is different. She's just different. One day I went down to what they call the coffee shop, mid-morning, you know, get a little refreshment. And she came down. She placed her order, took her order to the table, and what do you think I saw? She gave thanks for her food. She was different. And I could tell it before she gave thanks. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with his people, with us. And our neighbors should know that the Lord is with us. We should so reflect the beauty of the Lord that our neighbors will say, She's different. He's different. Something comes to mind. A certain man was boss over a group of men. And he came to retirement. And they gave a little retirement reception for this boss. And the different men began to wish the boss well and wish him this and wish the other. You know what the boss said? I have been with you for the last 10 years, and there's only one man in here that has impressed me. And he pointed him out. I said, I want to hear from you. And that man got up and gave a testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what impressed his boss. They knew, his master saw, that the Lord was with him. Verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is within this house, with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Notice, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God, he was God conscious. And that's why he could put up with all the ill that his brothers did to him. But you know the story. But we're going to read it. You can't read the same story in the Bible too often. And let's trust as we read it, we'll see something that we never saw before. Verse 10. It came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Oh my. I won't go into any details on that one. That's a separate subject. It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. It came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled. It came to pass when his master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. My, my, my. A place where the king's prisoners were bound, but he was there in prison. Verse 20, but the Lord was with him. Oh, that's a beautiful part. That's the good part. They put him in prison. She told a great falsehood on him. There he is in prison, innocently. But he was conscious of one thing. The Lord was with him. And I say to you young folks, especially you're in school. Some of you are working. And sometimes you run into people who misuse you and abuse you. I can think of three or four instances in my own life. Shall I tell you one? Yeah. Three of us were at the same level of training for surgery. But the chief of surgery always gave me the hardest tasks. He always asked me the toughest questions. And I wondered, why is he so hard on me and so easy on the others? And I just prayed and prayed and waited on the Lord. One morning, I came on the ward. The charge nurse said to me, "Dr. Wright said something about you that I think you ought to know." I said, "At last I'm going to know why he's so hard on me, why he hates me so, why he gives me the hardest problems." I said, "What did Dr. Wright say?" "Dr. Wright said, whenever I want something done correctly, I call on guns." You know, I stood up in that ward, tears came to my eyes, and I said, "Thank you, Lord. If a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him." Young folks, stand for the Lord. Be conscious of his presence. Whatever you do, do it, as we read in Colossians, heartily, as unto the Lord. But let's go on with our reading. Chapter 40. Verse 8. They said unto him, that is to Joseph, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me the dream, I pray you." The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, and so forth and so forth. Verse 14. "Think on me," Joseph said, "when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee. Make mention of me before Pharaoh. Bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Here also I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon." Pretty sad situation for Joseph, wasn't it? But the Lord was with him. There was communion with the Lord. Verse 23. "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Chapter 41. Verse 41. "Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." My. How'd that happen? In the midst of all of his problems, he waited. He was patient. And he was silent. Now look what we're going to read. "Pharaoh took off his ring," verse 42, "from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. They cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all Egypt." What a promotion. But he never complained. There he was in jail. He didn't say, "Lord, why am I here? I didn't do anything." No, he was silent, just waiting on the Lord. And again, I say to those of you, particularly you younger ones in school and at work, wait on the Lord. But we must go on. Chapter 45. Verse 1. Joseph is now next to Pharaoh in the kingdom, having waited patiently and silently. Chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." There stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?" His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto them, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." You sold me into Egypt, see? "Therefore, be not grieved or angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither." God, he was conscious of the fact that he was in communion with God. He said, "God allowed me to go into Egypt." Silent and patient in all his tribulation. "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. Yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither." You thought you were sending me hither, but God. How do you like that? Beloved, trust in God. No matter what the circumstances, how hard or difficult, trust in God. "It was not you that sent me hither, but God." I'm about finished. Wait. Wait patiently. Wait silently. God will bring it to pass. You see, the thing is this. God did not promise us a smooth journey. He said, "In the world you will have tribulation, trials, problems, difficulties." He didn't promise a smooth journey. The road is a difficult road. You know what he promised? A safe landing. How's that? How's that? The journey will not be easy. It's not an easy road, but we're going to have a safe landing. What a thought. What a thought. Now there are some scriptures, and the time is just about up. I won't ask you to turn to them, but copy them down, and when you get home, wallow in them. Proverbs 20 and 23. Isaiah 40 and 31. Isaiah 49 and the last clause of verse 23. Lamentations 3 and 25. Hosea 12 and 6. Did I say them too fast? You can get them. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait silently on the Lord. Shall we sing again that hymn that we sang on Wednesday night? 601. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change his faithful, will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Number 601. Let us sing this prayerfully.